When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Yeah, Jordan carried out its threat. Something unheard of in the Obama administration. And now we learn the United Arab Emirates pulled their Air Force out of the fight. Now, what about that great coalition of Middle East countries that were going to lead the fight while we lead from behind? Blair Adams with you. This is the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer, with our host, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thanks so much, Blair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us once again as we prepare for the cold front that's on the way. All right. You know, with the routine, we are here. It is Drive Time, and we're coming to you live from the mercury-free broadcasting studios. And don't forget, for the best in mercury-free dental care, call my personal dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And please don't forget to ask him about his book, Mercury Free. All right, we got a big show lined up for you tonight, folks. And, of course, as always, you can be a part of it. We welcome your calls at 407-774-8255. We will be talking about things like that Jordanian response and the goings-on in the Middle East, because today, once again, we have Abe Katzman, who will be checking in with us live from Jerusalem. Of course, he's normally with us on Monday, but he's been traveling and he got a little sick. But now we do have him with us today. Nostradamus will be joining in that conversation later on as well. And, of course, you can join in any time that you like. Also, we got some tickets. We got some more goodies to give away. Yeah, that's right, folks. I love doing this sort of stuff. You know, the Apopka, the Old Florida Outdoor Festival in Apopka is coming up the weekend of February 14th and 15th. That's, of course, Valentine's Day weekend, and believe it or not, that's just next weekend, right? Because this weekend is...
Yeah, you're right. The weekend after this coming weekend.
Yeah,
you got
7th and the 8th, and of course next Friday will be Friday the 13th. But the 14th and the 15th, Saturday and Sunday, at the Northwest Recreational Center, the Old Florida Outdoor Festival is coming up. A lot of great stuff going to be going on there. A lot of stuff for the kids to do. A local farmer's market. Guess what? They are going to have a chili cook-off and a Florida Barbecue Association official barbecue cook-off. And they're going to have concerts there, including on Saturday, Montgomery Gentry, country music star, and Sunday, Joe Nichols, country music star, will be performing there. And we got tickets to give away. Not yet, though. You're going to have to wait until I tell you when to call. But we got 5 pairs of tickets to give away today and 5 pairs of tickets to give away tomorrow. So if you like that sort of thing and you got friends and family that like that sort of thing, right now get on the phone and tell them, hey, get on the radio and listen to the American Adversaries, AM 660, The Answer.
Win them.
And win these tickets to the Old Florida Outdoor Festival. It's going to be a lot of fun. Should be a great weekend for that sort of thing, too. Next weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend. So, as I say, keep that phone close by. And when we give you the heads up, you guys can call in and put Nick to work. Nick LeCicero, of course, is on the bridge in there, fresh right off the plane back from New England Beantown up there where they had the parade this morning.
I would have loved to be there.
I know you would, but you've been loving it every minute of it. But once again, you know, big to-do because, of course, the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl. All right. As I said, in the second segment of the show, we're going to pick up Abe Katzman. And feel free to call in when Abe joins us. And by the way, folks, he's a great columnist, and you can find his work at Abe Katzman, and that's with an S, abekatzman.com. And I want to get to the Middle East stuff first. But first, I want to talk about you've been watching what's going on in Congress. You know, the roles are reversed, and now all of a sudden the Democrats are the obstruction. Only you won't hear the mainstream media call them such, but we will around here.
Yeah.
For the second day in a row, they're filibustering and holding up the Homeland Security votes. And this is what we're going to be seeing for 2 years, and so get used to it. But it's better than them passing a bunch of laws, if you ask me. Repealing a bunch of that, now that would be nice. I think that we should just have a legislative session dedicated to only repealing laws. And that way they would have to go through the books and scour the books and find the laws that that are redundant, we don't need anymore, or just don't make any sense. And I'm sure the books are full of them. They just, of course, don't have the will to do that sort of thing. But yeah, it's sort of fun to see.
And government programs need a time limit.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it Reagan said? The closest thing to eternal life is a government program.
Yep.
Certainly that is true. And of course, he tried to end some government programs, but even in his administration.
Once you start a giveaway, you can't take it back.
I was going to say, exactly. And even in his administration, government programs were started, not ended. So it's a never-ending thing, and that's why we have to be vigilant and as vigilant as possible. So I'm not upset, you know, with all the obstructionism going on up there, because I don't trust them to make good law. It's the bottom line, really, either party. And by the way, we're going to have Senator Ron Johnson on our show next week, and we'll be talking to him. Of course, he's on the Senate Foreign Intelligence Committee, so we'll be talking to him about the ISIS and everything.
And he cuts to the quick.
He does, and he's straight up with us, and we'll talk a little politics with him, too. So that's going to be interesting. Once again, that'll be next week, though, not this week. But Jordan responded, I guess you could say, sort of in like kind, only they doubled down. I guess my initial reaction was, why didn't you just haul out 10 and make ISIS really feel the pain? But when you get down to it, ISIS didn't feel the pain. Al-Qaeda felt the pain because they were the terrorists being held in a Jordanian prison. And this is just getting deeper and deeper and more complicated by the minute. And, of course, then you get President Obama yesterday.
President Feckless?
Yeah, describe perfect word. Yeah, describe description. Perfect description because he called ISIS an organization, and I'm paraphrasing, an organization with a bankrupt ideology. You know, I thought for all the world for a minute he was talking about the Democratic Party. Because they're the ones with a bankrupt ideology. I got news for this president. ISIS ain't got no bankrupt ideology. They got a very potent ideology.
Chris, let me ask you this. You know, folks, I hate to be disparaging, but isn't that a comment a wuss would make?
Well,
I mean, when you try to describe things in terms like this that really lessen their overall impact and the devastation and tragedy that they cause, and you sort of butter it up.
Well, that is my tendency to want to believe that. However, I think it's part of that, but there's more to it than that. And one thing is he's just a very cold-hearted individual. He does not empathize with people.
No.
I think it goes back to his childhood where, you know, he did not have parents that took care of him and loved him. They shuffled him off. And, you know, that cannot but help a person's psyche as you're growing up. And I think that he never really learned how to be close and compassionate with people. And I think that it probably goes on within his own family. I can only speculate there, but I know it goes on in his public life. He doesn't give a damn about anybody. That's how he can go about this so cold-heartedly. But to go further, I think Carl Jackson is onto something, and he really made me angry Saturday morning when I realized he thought of it and I didn't. Compliments to you, Carl Jackson. And, of course, I'm only teasing, but that's why we got some great talent here at AM 660 The Answer, because not any one of us can know everything or think of everything. But Carl pointed out, and he got this notion in no small part because of Dinesh D'Souza's book and movie, and talking about how President Obama is so adamantly against colonization and what he perceives to have been the colonization of the world by capitalist powers. And he wants to reverse that. And he's in the process, I believe, of doing that. And how do you reverse the colonization? Well, you destroy all of the states and the governments that the colonization process set up. And if you remember, that's what his daddy was all about.
Yep.
And then when, if you remember, Newt Gingrich actually tried to bring this up, I believe, when he was running for president. In 2012. And oh, the voices of, oh, that's racist. You can't say that. That's racism somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think Carl is actually onto something that President Obama, and to me, ultimately, this is stupid and cowardly. Mm-hmm. To get back to your point, we're kind of coming around the mountain here, because he doesn't understand exactly what he has done and what he is doing. What he has done and what he is doing is ensuring that so far, hundreds of thousands, and the numbers will rise well into the millions of people are going to die because of his policy of, quote-unquote, decolonizing the world. Now, we were sold this bill of goods, as a side note, to make nice with Cuba so that we could transition Cuba from the dictatorship of the Castro boys to, you know, some sort of free society. Yeah, how that's going to just spontaneously happen, I don't know. But the whole point of us, you know, opening these diplomatic relations was sort of to make sure there wasn't a revolution. That we don't know any bloodshed down there to Cuba. Well, he sure in the hell doesn't seem to mind about bloodshed over in the Middle East. Mm-mm. Because that's what has been happening because of his policy, whether it is because of cowardice, stupidity, or because of this plan, and there will be a lot more death and destruction as a part of it. So ultimately, what he is doing is he is sitting back and basically allowing and encouraging in sort of subtle ways, if you want to put it that way, these states to fall. And I believe that he wants to see Jordan fall. He wants to see the new government in Egypt fall. He wants to see probably the Saudi Arabians fall. And at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure that he wants to see Israel fall as well. Because actually, aren't they the ultimate expression of colonization in the Middle East? So hats off to Carl Jackson. And that's just another reason, folks, why you need to be listening to his show live right here on AM 660 The Answer every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. And, of course, the show is replayed at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Carl is right on about that, I do believe. Ultimately, though, I do think that the way he's going about it is cowardly because he can't tell anybody what he's trying to do. He's not trying to do it in an orderly, peaceful fashion. He's just basically allowing the Middle East to implode so that he can feel like he has done something, you know, to that colonization process, not knowing at all. And there's no way he can predict or have any control over the outcome of this. This is like letting the genie out of the bottle, and there is no controlling that genie when he, she, or it is out of that there bottle.
Well, could it be, too, Chris, that he understands he's blown it in the Middle East? He can never get a legacy out of what he's done in the Middle East. And could that be why he's heading over towards Cuba, making nice with them, and possibly even down the road Venezuela and other countries, focusing, hey, that's where my foreign policy was. It was bringing these other countries into our, and just writing off the Middle East.
I wish it were that simple. But once again, I think that what he has done, in particular down there in Cuba, was rescue a communist government that he saw that was teetering. There was going to be no violent revolution in Cuba unless it were the dictators who got ran out of town or them hung. And hey, would that have been so bad? All right, well, I guess when it happens in the Middle East, it's not. But when it happens in Cuba, it is. But it's a convoluted thing. And if it were the communists that, quote-unquote, had colonized the Middle East, he'd probably be trying his darndest to save it.
Sounds
just like he did Cuba.
Sounds like Neville Chamberlain to me.
All right, when we come back, Abe Katzman, live from Jerusalem. Well, yes, sir. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. The American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. And get those phones out and cook them up. Let's see it. 407-774-8255. We've got five pairs of tickets we're going to give away right now to the first five phone callers that want to go to the Old Florida Outdoor Festival in Apopka. By the way, you can find out more about it at oldfloridaoutdoorfestival.com. And guess what? Every person who wins a pair of tickets is going to be qualified for a family four-pack drawing. That's right, folks. If you get the two tickets, which are good for either Saturday or Sunday, you'll be entered into a drawing to get a family four-pack, which is good for both days. And it's a lot of kids' activities and the chili cook-off and the barbecue cook-off. That's worth going right there. And the concerts on Saturday, Montgomery Gentry, and Sunday, Joe Nichols. It's going to be a whole lot of fun at the Northwest Recreation Center Amphitheater in Apopka. So first five callers right now, get those five pairs of tickets. In the meantime, let's go to our man Abe Katzman, who's checking in with us live from Jerusalem. Good evening, Abe. How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm still recovering from the Seahawks loss in the Super Bowl, but otherwise I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I heard you were sick.
Yeah. Well, now there you go. Brilliant minds, because I was going to go there. You know, let's talk about the important things first. What did you think about, quote-unquote, the play?
Oh, no. As soon as it started happening,
yep.
I knew it was trouble. I didn't understand why they were doing it. I could understand not handing the ball off and rolling out. I could understand not handing the ball off and doing a read option and Wilson keeping it.
Yeah.
But that play selection, me and everybody else in Seattle is still scratching our heads and tearing our hair out.
Well, as soon as his arm went up in the air, I was thinking, what? You're not? No, you did.
Yeah. I was thinking either quarterback sneak or fake it to the running back and then a little bootleg like you were talking about. That would have been the perfect play, I think. And golly. Well, it'll be one to talk about for the ages, but other than that, it was a fantastic game, and boy, what a comeback it could have been and perhaps should have been. And how about that juggling catch right down
that
there?
On like something.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. All right. Well, Abe, first of all, I want to talk about the visit that Prime Minister Netanyahu is going to pay on the House for the speech to Congress. First of all, before we get to the politics of it, what should we expect the Prime Minister to say, or how should we expect him to say it, perhaps?
I expect him to say more or less what he said before about Iran, that Iran is not a friend of the U.S., that Iran is the problem in the Middle East, the largest problem in the Middle East. I'm sure he's going to come up with some innovative way of saying it, because he always does.
Yeah.
He never disappoints when it comes to making his speeches, and especially one that's so important. I think it's likely to be a good one.
What is the reaction in Israel over some of the response, in particular from the White House, with President Obama now refusing to receive the prime minister and issuing threats, presumably to Israel? Perhaps he's making them to Congress, but I would presume to both.
Well, you know, the president is not particularly popular in Israel, but what's interesting is that this is happening during an Israeli election season.
Right.
So any kind of dissension that exists between Israel and the U.S., Prime Minister Netanyahu's opponents are grabbing onto and claiming that this is an indication that Netanyahu doesn't know how to manage the relationship with the U.S., and therefore he should be toppled.
And is it affecting his poll numbers?
Actually, his poll numbers have been going up over the last couple of weeks. The results, yeah. He's a couple of weeks ago, it was actually looking like a left-wing coalition might be able to form, and since then, he's had some pretty good momentum, and it looks like if the election were held today, at least, that he would come out on top.
So far, this little dust-up with the United States hasn't hurt him, and may have actually sort of helped him in some odd sort of way.
I don't know that it's hurt him. I think that the way that he's handled it the way that he's and the way that he's handled the his opponents and their criticisms of him, I think that that is reinforcing for people in Israel the idea that he is the person who should be prime minister, and he's probably the only one. These critics sound like they're harping on all sorts of, you know, they're just criticizing for the sake of criticizing.
Well, doesn't the president...
doesn't seem to be a lot of substance.
Yeah, doesn't the president right now kind of come across as being petulant, Abe?
Very much so.
Yeah.
I don't think that from the standpoint of the insult to the president, the people here don't understand it. They don't know why there should be any problem with addressing Congress.
And real quickly, March 3rd is when he's going to speak to the joint session of Congress here. When is the election set for over there?
The election is March 17th.
March 17th, so it will be right after that.
Yeah, it'll be pretty soon after. We'll be able to drink our green beer.
That's right.
In celebration of a Netanyahu victory.
Well, let's hope so. Of course, it will be St. Patrick's Day. By the way, will that speech be broadcast live in Israel, do you anticipate?
I expect that it would be. I'm not sure what time of day it's going to be.
Okay.
In America, so it may not be at a particularly good time for Israeli audiences.
Okay. Stay with us, Abe, through the break, if you will. When we come back, I want to know what the reaction over there is to Barack Obama providing some of the prime minister's opponents with political operatives. We're coming right back, folks.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart with a little sample of a lot of the great medicine brand new today at SoundbiteRx.com. Like this right here, an NBC reporter. Now, these folks, these liberals, just can't get over the fact that American Sniper is a very well-made movie and a very touching story. An NBC reporter says that Chris Kyle went on, quote-unquote, a killing spree in Iraq. Well, if that's what it takes to protect our troops in a military battle, then I'm all for it. You'll find that story brand new today. Also this, the Obama administration continues to criticize Prime Minister Netanyahu for his upcoming visit. Of course, you hear us talking about that with Abe Katzman from Jerusalem. And also, the liberal news media and what Scott Walker is in for, that article brand new today. I'd liken what he's in for to, let's say, an examination by a proctologist with very, very bad bedside medicine. Manner. Also this, Bill Gates says artificial intelligence will grow and threaten us. Well, nice for you to happen to notice now, Mr. Gates, since your corporation has made that pretty doggone possible. Also this, a Muslim woman is suing police for making her remove her hijab. Why? Because she was arrested and they needed to take her mug shot. All right, folks, that's just a sample of what's brand new today. Go there, get the good medicine. We'll be right back.
Yes, that man knows how to say ho. But that's all right, folks. We are American adversaries.
And not get arrested for doing it.
That's right. Not getting slapped. But he's got a couple beautiful daughters. So
yeah.
Anyway, Larry Adams here with Christopher Hart. This is the American Adversaries Drive Time. And on the phone right now, one of our favorite guests, a true champion.
Well, he's not a guest. He's a regular.
Well,
he's,
yeah.
He's a part of the Army.
He's still a guest because, you know, he's our guest. We invited him in here. And he's right. He's part of the Army. And that would be Abe Katzman calling in from Jerusalem. And Abe, we were talking before the break about our great president, and he seems to be stacking the deck against Benjamin Netanyahu over there by his political appointees or operatives that he has there. What's the news source? What are the news sources saying about that?
Well, there's the operatives, and also it seems that the State Department gave money to a nonprofit that's working with an Israeli organization that is trying to topple Netanyahu. So, which would be a violation of Israel's election laws. The people here are not so pleased with this. It's interesting, actually, because President Clinton actually interfered with the election, with the Israeli elections back in 1996. He was also trying to defeat Netanyahu. It worked a little bit better with Clinton because I think Clinton was a much more popular character in Israel than Obama is. I have a feeling that the interference, when it's recognized as such by the Obama administration, is actually going to backfire. I think that he is so unpopular here that the idea that that President Obama is backing his opponents is actually going to work in his favor.
Is it getting enough media play over there to make a difference?
It is. I mean, there are some all sorts of crazy scandals and phony scandals. Everybody's looking for an angle, for some kind of big scoop. The stories that are going on in competition with that one are that perhaps the prime minister's wife received deposits for returning bottles, lots of wine bottles, and kept the money rather than turned it in. This is a claim of something that happened years ago, and it's coming up now. It's kind of ludicrous. It doesn't really make sense, but it's actually gotten a little bit of traction here.
Abe, let me ask you this. You mentioned the Clinton, or Bill Clinton. What is the feeling there in Israel about Hillary? Is she just kind of off to the sidelines there? Do they actually, I mean, she is presumed to be the Democratic nominee. How do they feel about her?
There are mixed feelings about her. On the one hand, there are, like I said, very warm feelings toward her husband. The sense was that Bill Clinton, whatever his policies were with Israel and however they ended up working out, that he himself had a real soft spot in his heart for Israel. Hillary doesn't have that same soft spot, and I think that people here know that. Also, she had a kind of mixed record in terms of Israel as Secretary of State.
Sure.
She ripped into the Israelis more than one occasion. And, you know, the Jews have long memories.
Isn't this present Secretary of State doing the same thing, John Kerry, over this visit by Prime Minister Netanyahu to the Congress here?
Yeah, he is. I think what worries people hear the most about the reaction in Washington to Netanyahu's speech is the possibility that the Democrats will end up boycotting it or in some way turning support for Israel into a partisan issue, into a battle between Republicans and Democrats. And that is not good for Israel. From Israel's standpoint, it is very important that support for Israel remain bipartisan.
Yeah, I believe, and I may be wrong on this because I only heard it from one news source, but I believe that Nancy Pelosi has said today she will be there.
That's good news.
Yeah, and I believe there was some speculation as that Vice President Biden wasn't going to be there. And I'm not sure. Maybe Nostradamus has an update on that. But by the way, folks, we're talking with Abe Katzman, and you can find his work, and it's great stuff, at abekatzman.com. That's Katzman with an S. Real quickly, I want to congratulate Eliza from Castleberry, Wendy from Winter Park, Jerry from Orlando, and Stu from Gotha. They have won each one pairs of tickets to the Old Florida Outdoor Festival coming up February 14th and 15th in Apopka. And they are also all now entered into a contest to win a family four-pack for both Saturday and Sunday. That means we have one more pair of tickets to give away. So if you want to go to the Old Florida Outdoor Festival, get on that phone right now. We'll take the first caller at 407-774-8255. If you called a while ago, got a busy signal, here's your second chance. And if you don't get through tonight, don't forget tomorrow we're going to give away another five pairs. So if you know somebody who wants to go to this thing and they don't listen to our show, say, you need to listen to this show because they're going to give away tickets. And it's a good show. All right. So, back to Abe, and we'll bring Nostradamus in here on this. Nostradamus, do you have any further information on whether the vice president or any prominent Democrats are going to boycott Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech?
Yeah, as of today, Biden's office had not made a comment either way. He hasn't committed saying he's definitely going, but he hasn't found an excuse not to go yet. He's probably going to be scouring his calendar looking for a hairdresser's appointment or something that he can say he's got going on.
Well, I'd say the longer that they go without making the decision, the more it's going to look like an obvious, petulant, you know, partisan thing if he doesn't go, because obviously there's no scheduling conflict, or they'd have said that right away. It's like they can't make up their mind. This is an interesting moment in the vice president's political aspirations, if he has any, to be president, because I'm sure the White House is saying, don't you dare go, Joe. But Joe's standing there thinking, if I have any designs on ever being president, I've got to go. Don't you think, Abe?
I think that's an excellent point. I think that, in fact, I think that's got to be running through the minds of most of the Democrats who are, of anybody considering boycotting this,
right,
that it will be remembered come the next election.
Yeah, do it at your own risk, sort of thing. By the way, I see Nick on the line in there, folks. So if you missed out, we'll announce the winner here in a second. But if you missed out on those tickets tonight, once again, we got five more pair to give away tomorrow night. And I hope you can go to that. Nostradamus, do you want to add on to that?
Yeah, Abe, what can you tell us about the group J Street? I'm reading here that they are not telling members of Congress yet to skip the speech, but they are described as a left-leaning Israel advocacy group, and to me that's an oxymoron. What can you tell us about them?
They like to call themselves pro-Israel and pro-peace. The only thing is that they never seem to have any anything good to say for anything that the Israeli government does. So I don't know how pro-Israel they actually are. They are very left-wing, very left, far left-leaning. And if you're familiar with AIPAC, they set themselves up originally to be sort of a left-wing counterbalance to AIPAC. Not that AIPAC is a right-wing organization.
No.
They're actually very centrist, but they wanted something far to the left. They've actually been very well received by this White House. No surprise there. But their influence, according to some people, is actually beginning to wane. I think that the orientation toward Israel is moving steadily rightward. And when they've seen the failures, the Palestinians walking away from peace talks and joining Hamas and that sort of thing, I think they wonder just what is it that the people like J Street want. And they feel that there's, whether they like it or not, the Netanyahu and his camp are really where Israel's future belongs.
Yeah, you know, Abe, this is just an observation on my part, but I think as more and more the Middle East goes up in flames around Israel, the more and more Israelis are going to become more and more conservative and look to leadership like Prime Minister Netanyahu, because it's too way too far into this game of killing and hate to think that peace is going to happen by sitting down at a table and talking all this out, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that people here take a look around and see the region on fire, see Israel facing all kinds of threats, and they realize this is not going to be solved by signing a piece of paper.
Yeah. Let's talk for a moment about what's going on in the West Bank. I understand that ISIS is making its presence known in the West Bank. What does Hezbollah think about this? Because aren't they an Iranian offshoot?
Hezbollah doesn't have so much influence in the West Bank. They're more in Lebanon. Hamas has
okay.
a very strong presence in the West Bank.
I see.
They also are Iranian-supported. ISIS has apparently been making some inroads. I think that the numbers of actual ISIS adherents, I think the numbers are still pretty small, but I know that there have been a number of arrests made, including by the Palestinian Authority. So that means the Palestinian police are arresting people for belonging to ISIS.
What was the reaction in Israel to the execution of the Jordanian pilot and Jordan's reaction to that?
Well, the execution of the Jordanian pilot was on the front page of the paper today, so it's considered big news. The relationship with Jordan is an interesting one, because on the one hand, I think that everybody here appreciates and supports Jordan doing anything they can, taking any action they can against ISIS. But the Jordanian military is not cut out for going to war, at least not for going to war against ISIS. Their main job is to keep the king in power. There's a whole theory that that ISIS did this in order to basically make Jordan take the bait and attack them, and that would end up destabilizing Jordan, allowing ISIS to make more inroads there.
Do you think that's a possibility?
I think that's very much a possibility.
All right. Real quickly, congratulations to Harry from Longwood. He won the last pair of tickets to the Old Florida Outdoor Festival today, but we'll have five more pair to give away to five new winners tomorrow. So make sure you tune in to tomorrow's show. Having said all of that, Abe, what do you think about the stability of the Jordanian monarch?
It's very hard to tell. It looks stable at the moment, but with all the problems Jordan has, they've got a million Syrian refugees that they're dealing with. They're dealing with a Muslim fundamentalist movement, a strong Muslim Brotherhood presence. It's hard to say just how stable things are over there. It's really very hard to read it. I don't think that things are as stable as they appear. And I think that ultimately it's a matter of time how long the king is able to hold out. Whether that means 6 months or whether that means 15 years, I don't know. But there are a lot of forces that are moving against him. And I don't know how long he's going to be able to hold out.
Okay. And I want to go back to Nasser Dennis in a second. But real quickly, what is the reaction in Israel to the new Saudi king, and in particular the new third in power? Because I understand that the new king, he may have Alzheimer's disease, probably not going to be around that long. I believe one of his brothers is second in line. But then they put a grandson of the original king in third in line. He's 55 years old, American educated. What's the reaction to all that in Israel?
So far, they're taking a wait-and-see approach. I think that there is some anticipation in Israel that the Saudis may actually be approachable, become at least very low-key allies with Israel when it comes to dealing with the rest of the stuff going on in the region.
Well, now, Saudi Arabia does have a military that could respond to ISIS. Do you think there's any inclination there for them to do that?
I think at some point they're going to have to. They've got a very well equipped military that they never use. But I think that the moment they decide that they're really going to use it, I think that they can really make a difference.
Nasser Dennis.
Yeah, I want to pivot back to Bibi for a second, Abe. When the announcement was first made that John Boehner was inviting him to address the joint session of Congress. For a couple of days, it looked like he maybe was thinking about not accepting the invitation. Is that a done deal, or is there anything that could happen between now and then in Israel that could cause him to change his mind and not make an appearance?
Well, any kind of emergency that would come up would give him an excuse if he's looking for one. But I don't think he is. I think at this point he feels he's made the case that, look, whether this is popular with the administration or not, Israel's existence is really in the balance when it comes to dealing with Iran. And you go anywhere and talk to anyone at any time if you think it's going to help preserve your existence.
Well, and then you have the British Prime Minister coming over here and helping Barack Obama try to push his agenda in front of Congress, and yet they get all offended that they're bringing Netanyahu over here. I mean, it just...
Yeah, well, President Obama seems to get offended by
anything
by Netanyahu in ways that he doesn't with anyone else. He doesn't get that mad at ISIS. He doesn't get that mad at Iran. Netanyahu seems to push his buttons.
Yeah, he calls ISIS an organization with bankrupt ideology. I thought he was talking about the Democratic Party, but I guess I'm just kind of stupid. This White House, they're not on the same page at all. I'm looking forward to a barn burner, so to speak, of a speech that's going to make President Obama look as puny as he really is on the world stage. So I'm looking forward to it. Abe, I want to pivot real quickly on the minute or so we have left. There's been something going on down in Argentina that I don't really understand exactly what it's all about. Evidently, a prosecutor was murdered. It looks like murdered. They're calling it suicide. Just one of the latest, stumbling blocks to solving a terrorist attack that had happened in Buenos Aires on a Jewish community center in 1994. Why is that a terrorist attack so important that nobody seems to want it to be resolved in terms of an investigation?
Well, they don't want it resolved because there are people who don't want it resolved because they know that the fingers are going to point at Iran. There are people in the Argentine government who would like to improve relations with Iran, and apparently Iran would like, as one of the conditions of improving relations, to sweep this all under the rug. Now, the prosecutor was apparently on the verge of even considering an arrest warrant against the president, which would have been really something. I'd like to see the crisis that would have.
And he turns up dead the night before he was going to present this report and his evidence.
Committing suicide.
Committing suicide. It turns out he was shot in the back of the head.
Yeah, he would have had to use his toes or something. It's just an intriguing story, and it just it seems to be getting deeper and deeper. And of course, Iran has ties to Venezuela, do they not?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they
very
sure
close,
do.
Very close relationship.
All right, Nostradamus, I'll give you the last crack at Abe Katzman.
Oh, boy, last crack. do you expect, Abe, that when Netanyahu does appear before Congress, are we going to get another great line like, if the Arabs stop fighting, there will be no war. If Israel stops fighting, there will be no Israel.
Like I said, I don't know what the line is going to be, but I guarantee you there will be a good one. This is not going to be a plain vanilla speech.
All right. Well, I don't know what we're going to be talking about next week, Abe, but I'll guarantee you this. It's going to be good because you'll be involved in the conversation. So thank you very much, and especially for staying late with us tonight. We've carried it over a few more minutes, and I so appreciate it. It's always so enlightening to talk to you, sir.
My pleasure as always.
All right, you get better, and there's always next year for them Hawks. All right, folks, that is...
Watch those deflated footballs, too.
Yeah, there you go. Abe Katzman is, once again, he's a part of the American Adversaries Army. We would love for you folks to join us, too. We need your help. It's real easy. Go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, look for the recruiting office, go there and sign up. Our first newsletter is coming out at the end of this week, and it's going to be loaded with coupons and bios on all us guys. So it's going to be a real treat to have you as a part of the Army, along with Abe Katzman. We'll be right back.
How about a title like Colonel Katzman?
No, General.
General, that works.
Yes, sir. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time. That was a great conversation with Abe Katzman, and I was just telling Larry during the break, if you listen to our show on a regular basis and hear Abe on a regular basis, you know more about what goes on in Jerusalem than 99.9% of the people in this country.
Than even Fox brings to you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Speaking of Nostradamus, you went and saw American Sniper last night. Nostradamus, what did you think?
Yeah, me and Mrs. Nostradamus, we went over to the Wachiva theaters over in Popka, and I'll tell you what, just like everyone who's seen it has reported to us, the movie ends and there's no applause, there's no cheering, there's basically just stunned silence. The power of the movie is incredible. I mean, Chris Kyle is portrayed as a human being, not as a superhuman, a world
killer.
He is a man. He is a man with flaws, but he's a man with a particular set of skills which come in handy during his four wars in Iraq. And some box office numbers on this. Do you realize so far American Sniper just cracked $250 million 253 million.
Yeah,
it's just, that puts the movie 35% ahead of every movie Michael Moore ever made combined.
Oh, that's why he's so upset about it. I guess.
Talk about petulant.
But
it's also better right now than the best movie Seth Rogen ever made worldwide in terms of gross, and that was when he did the voice for Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, by the time this thing goes to DVD and you get DVD sales and everything, I would not be surprised if it's a $500 million movie. And it should be because it's a great movie, and it will leave a lasting impression on anybody who sees it.
It's only been out since Christmas, and it's only been out in wide release since January 16th. That's about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's not international distribution, is it? I think that's just here in the U.S.
That's right. Worldwide, it's over $300 million. And worldwide, one of the places where it's playing very well is in Iraq.
Iraq, that's right. Yeah. I was surprised when I saw that. But maybe not. Maybe not, because they knew, most Iraqis knew, that when we left, when President Obama pulled all of our troops out, things were not all that bad in Iraq. You know?
They had purple thumbs.
They sure enough did.
And that theme was portrayed, you know, the theme that we talked about where the Al-Qaeda will come to the villages and say, when they leave, we're still going to be here. That was part of this movie.
All right, Nostradamus, great work. I know you got a lot of brand new stuff up on Facebook, but we kept Abe so long that we just don't have time to talk about that. But it is brand new today at Facebook, American Adversaries on Facebook. Great work, Nostradamus. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Thank you.
All right, when Mike McBath will join us, and we'll talk about the play some more and about the politics, because Mike's really great about that. All right, that's going for tonight, folks. Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM.